And welcome back to Real Ag Radio here on Agronomic Monday. This segment's brought to you by The Corn School, which is sponsored by BSF Canada and Pride Seeds. Go to cornschool.com and you can find our entire agronomic library dedicated to corn agronomy. And speaking of Pride Seeds, joining us right now is Matt Chappell. He's market development agronomist with Pride Seeds. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm well, Sean. How's it going?
Pretty good. Hey, Matt, earlier Peter Johnson and I were talking about these lights out fantastic corn yields that were experienced out east this year. Pretty amazing stuff. And boy, did Mother Nature ever cooperate at the end of the day.
She sure did. Pretty nice the way we had a good start to spring. I think the fact that we had good even emergence and great populations was a key part of the success. And then a nice open fall helped add to some nice bushel weights across the board. So a lot of excitement, a lot of growers as they went to the field this fall. They were sending, colleagues and myself pictures of the yield monitor. Unbelievable yield weights, truck weigh tickets, everything, this year. Just excitement as they got to harvest that corn crop.
So, Matt, as we prep for 2022, we always try to learn from the past year. Sometimes our memories are too long and we remember things that may not be actual variables in the upcoming year. But we do need to look back a little bit and think about what were some of the challenges, what some of those challenges that possibly carry over to the upcoming season. One of the ones I think that a lot of people are talking about is tar spot.
You got that right, Sean. That's one of the biggest questions I've been receiving around, ordering corn seed for the 2022 growing season is, what do we know about the hybrids in the lineup? What have we seen in the 2021 growing season? How can we manage tar spot? And, how do we kind of mitigate some of our risks through genetic selection? And it's pretty interesting. A lot of growers had tar spot to some degree, some very low severity in some areas, but some areas in the southwest, particularly Chatham-Kent, down in southern Elgin or Middlesex counties, and then into Essex County especially, they experienced some economic yield losses to tar spot infection this year.
Yeah, so from your standpoint as somebody that's obviously focused in agronomy and working in the seed business, Is it about just, looking at some of that trial data, some of that information that a company like yourself would have to provide that, decision-making on which hybrid to go with?
Yeah, Sean. So a lot of those discussions, are had with the agronomy team, the product team within AgriLine Genetics and Pride Seeds, and helping growers and dealers understand those hybrid tolerances. In sites where we experience heavy tar spot pressure this year, you can see that those trends in some of the yield data. Yeah. But hey, Sean, like in most things, it takes more than just genetics too, right, to tell the whole tar spot story. We're also understanding that disease triangle, the pathogen, the host, and the environment, and how all those things interact. Because we've had cases this season where neighboring farmers had totally different experiences with, the same hybrids or similar genetics. And we have to understand why one neighbor had it worse than the other and what maybe those underlying health concerns were in the field and how we can help manage our own tar spot moving forward.
Yeah, I think if you look at any disease or pest pressure, lots of examples. I think of club root rot and pulses, wheat midge, just relying on the genetics are a piece of the solution, not the only solution. There's other factors as well that come into play to mitigate the impacts of any disease or pest for sure. A lot of discussion about input prices, Matt. When I think of inputs, nitrogen in particular, and then I think about what it takes to grow corn, this is something that is very, very much on the minds of growers that we hear from every week when we have them as guests on the Farmer Rapid Fire. It's all the talk in the coffee shop.
It's a huge part of it. A lot of coffee shop talk these days and a lot of sit downs with customers, looking at the economics of growing corn. And I think with the record yields we've come out of, and a lot of growers, particularly in my trading area, have come up with some pretty darn good average yields over the past 5, even 10 years growing corn. And they're looking at that, and I think there is some level of comfort, especially growers that have the infrastructure to grow these big corn crops, meaning their own grain dryers, meaning maybe they've got lots of wagons and and tractor trailers to haul that load. So, you know, they're accepting, I guess, to some degree that there is still margin opportunities in growing a nice, good corn crop in Ontario this coming season. So, yes, it is sticker shock. There's no doubt. And I think we can't begin to think, though, that we can shortchange ourselves on fertility without having good soil test results in hand to make those informed decisions.
Kind of goes that way with all crops, right? Like whether you're growing beans or corn, wheat, canola, pulp, anything. I think this is a year where you just need to have those test results.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going to be a powerful tool. That's going to be our way that we can make informed decisions and maybe save from over-applying. Growers that are utilizing variable rate technology, they're the ones that can find some strong economics this growing season, and or putting focus on the strong areas and maybe backing off on the weak in general. Maybe that farm that doesn't have the drainage to support it or the nutrient holding capacity. So I think, too, you know, if we try to short ourselves on fertility or plant health tools like fungicide applications when needed, that could end up costing us yield from things like plant diseases in a backwards growing season.
What other things are you hearing from growers right now, Matt, as you talk to Pride customers and having conversations about 22? What are some other questions that they have or points of discussion that keep on coming up?
We often talk about, you know, some tried, true, and tested agronomy information that we've learned over the years. Simple things like planters and populations and what we know about soybean genetics. Those are all key things that we're trying to put the most money into farmers' pockets, things that we can simply manage ourselves. And those projects that we do on planting dates, different tillage methods, those always come in handy as we look at advancing new products all the time and seeing how each of those new products expand. I continually get asked about, you know, SDS in soybeans. You know, what do we have? What tools can we utilize, or how can we plant differently or manage our soybeans to mitigate those losses? Because everybody has a problem farm. So we're looking at seed treatments especially, or those rotating genetics, having genetics that have good nematode resistance, as well as just a very strong SDS package.
Yeah, it can be easy to get all wrapped up and sometimes bewildered by Mother Nature and the impacts of the weather, and obviously something that's out of the farmer's control. But the off season, the winter season here, is really when we need to hone in and focus on the decisions that we can make on the things that we control, right? We can't decide on the weather. We would have never decided to have this much moisture in the fall in Ontario. We would have probably decided to have some rainfall throughout the summer in Western Canada. But there are things that we can make decisions on as growers and farmers to give ourselves the best chance as long as Mother Nature cooperates.
That's exactly right. And I think there's, you know, no shortage of information available to growers. So many growers now are making such informed, data-driven decisions, whether it be from their own yield monitor, from neighbors, from their local agronomist who's working with a long list of other customers as well. There's a lot of opportunities to share information and knowledge. And, you know, our team as well, we look forward to winter conference season. Our team looks forward to discussing all of our different regional experiences from the past growing season, discussing what worked and what didn't, and how we find ways for growers to, you know, to meet their expectations, meet their revenue expectations as well.
So, yeah, for sure. The winter time is, there's no slow time when it comes to agronomy anymore at all. There's, you know, it's especially with all the data you allude to it, right? We've collected all of it. Now we got to piece it all together. We got to analyze it and then try to make informed decisions based on it. So great stuff. And that intensity around that just continues to increase every single year. I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that can identify with that for sure. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for joining us here today on Real Ag Radio.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Anytime. Happy to join you.
We'll be right back on Real Ag Radio with more of Agronomic Monday right after this.